This is episode 35 of Big Ideas Small Business, where we interview co-founder and CEO of Faramore, Brittany Barreto. Brittany is a PhD, a scientist turned entrepreneur who created this dating app that uses DNA profiles to help make a match.
Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
All right. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. We're here on a Tuesday afternoon. Brittany, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Perfect. In Austin, Texas. So y'all are doing a launch in Austin for Faramore, and we'll get into what Faramore is in a little bit. We like to start off with getting a fun fact about you. And so we talked a little bit off air, and Brittany, would you please, Laura, did you have a fun fact or two to share about Brittany?
Yeah. So Brittany told me a couple little tidbits here. She said her dog had a funny name. What was your dog's name, Brittany?
Yeah. My dog's name is Trypsin. It's, the name of an enzyme in the liver. It's also an enzyme that we use in the laboratory a lot. So my dog's name is named after an enzyme, trypsin.
That is really dorky. I'm just kidding. But you are a bit of a science nerd, right? And so yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, for sure. So I was born and raised in New Jersey. I went to Drew University for studying biology. It's a small liberal arts school in New Jersey. And then I moved down to Houston in 2013, where I pursued my PhD in molecular and human genetics at Baylor College of Medicine. And I successfully defended that November 2017. So almost a year ago.
Okay. Wow. So that's quite a background. I'm from the Northeast too. So yay, we're two Northeasterners that landed down here in Houston. And Laura actually is from New Jersey as well.
I'm from New Jersey. I was born in Plainfield, New Jersey. Actually, I never lived there, but lived in New Jersey 13 years of my life, in fact.
So, and what are some of the key differences that you found between Jersey and Houston? I think you told us about a nickname that you have.
Yeah. So, well, you know, people in the South, y'all are so patient and kind, and so sometimes I'm a little impatient, and so my friends will be like, hey, your Jersey B is showing, you know, like your Jersey B is coming out. And that's so true. When I first moved here, I'd go to Starbucks and they'd ask me how I was doing, and that honestly was kind of weird to me from New Jersey.
Yeah, it's people here are extra friendly, I would say. Yeah. And it's a little uncomfortable at first. Then you kind of get used to it. You even said y'all back there. So I know you're used to it. Me too. We've acclimated. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we like to do on the show, and the way the show works, is we get into a big idea. And our hope is that when people hear about your story and your background, that they're inspired to pursue their big ideas. So I think it's appropriate, since y'all launched a company a few years ago, that I would imagine that would be your big idea. Why don't you tell us a little more about Faramore?
Yeah, so Faramore is a science-based dating app. So we use the science of genetics and also big data, so cyber footprints, in order to quantify compatibility between singles. I first had the idea for this DNA-based dating app in college at Drew. I was in a genetics seminar, and we were having a lesson on genetic-based human attraction. So essentially, how scientists can predict who's attracted to who because of 11 genes. And so I rose my hand and I asked the professor if I could make a geneharmony.com. And, you know, he laughed, everyone else laughed. And he said, you know, but I guess you could, technically you could. And ever since then, that was like 9 years ago, I thought one day I'm going to make a DNA-based dating app. Fast forward, was finishing my PhD in genetics here in Houston, and wanted to do something bigger than just be a scientist in a laboratory. And so I pitched my idea at an accelerator program in the medical center in Texas, in Houston, at the Texas Medical Center, and was accepted. And then that was like the start of Faramore. That was December 2016.
So December 2016, you know, what's interesting is that's roughly the time when both Laura and I started our companies, mid 2016. So yeah. How's it been going?
It's been ups and downs and all around.
Yeah.
I was still finishing my PhD the whole first year of our company. So I was a PhD student and, entrepreneur, founder. So that was rough. But I feel like when you're passionate about a company, you can do the unbelievable, you can do the unthinkable. So I was able to continue my PhD, finish it, and also found the company at the same time.
Wow. So you had a lot going on.
Yeah, it was a lot.
So I love the response, ups and downs and all arounds. I couldn't agree more. Do you have anything that you've learned just in the short amount of time you've been doing this that you'd like to share with the audience?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I guess the biggest thing for me is finding this balance between confidence and humility. So knowing that you're an expert in something and standing strong in that and not letting anyone question you about it, or if they do question you, letting them know that you know what you know. And at the same time, being very quick to pause a conversation and say, hey, I don't know who Mr. Ibida is. Who is that? And then being like, oh my God, okay. Well, just being really quick to say like, yeah, I'm an expert in this field and I don't know much about this, but I'm pretty smart. Please help me out, figure that out. So finding that balance of confidence and humility, it's a dance, and I don't do it perfectly every day, but I think that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned in being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little about building your team?
Yeah. So I found my co-founder in that accelerator program. I actually had formed Faramore a few weeks before the accelerator program, and I was trying to make my own website. And here's that like confidence, humility thing. I'm a really great genetic engineer. I can't make a website. I got WordPress and I was trying to like make pages and it was going nowhere fast. So I knew immediately I needed a techie person, someone who knew, could build a website real easily. And I also needed someone who could work with big data and write algorithms. And so Dr. Ben Huang is my co-founder and he's a data specialist. He's a PhD from Rice in data analytics. So very quickly, building my team was all about finding where my weakness was and then filling it, right? So I had people approach me that wanted to be a part of Faramore, and they were like, yeah, I'm a geneticist too. And I was like, well, we don't really need two geneticists, right? Like, yeah. What I need is a marketing person, because that's not me. And what I need is a data person. And, slowly but surely, just figuring out where the weaknesses were. And then, I'm continuing to build our team. So I actually just hired a full-time community manager. And that was after a summer's long experiment of thinking I had, a list of 20 needs. And I just tried to figure out what were those 20 customer service, community management needs, which ones were the most pertinent. And, tested doing them, tested not doing them. And then by the end of the summer, I was like, yeah, here's my list of things I really need to get done, and I need them done in a really good way. So This essentially is a job description. And I hired someone based off of that, the summer's worth of work that I knew, like, this is indispensable to the company's success. I've tried it. It's true. Like, these are the 10 things I need done. And I literally just put a title on it that just said like seeking community manager,
Yeah.
So building a team based on my weaknesses, and then also building a team based off of like, what are the company needs that we've tested and we know that we need someone to be doing this.
Mm-hmm. Are you focusing at all on company culture and setting that early on, or?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
How are you handling that?
So it's a great question. We work really, really hard at Faramore. We eat lunch at our desks. We, you know, are on Slack at 1 a.m. You know, we work really, really hard. And what I like to do is balance that with fun. And so part of our company culture, this may sound shocking, but it's Snapchat. So we have a Snapchat channel, and we essentially like put filters on each other's faces and zoom in on each other's faces like all day long, send it to each other. And that just like inner office humor provides that like ease and comfort of like, hey, we're all in this together. We're a community, you know, like we're all building something for the same reason and the same purpose, and we have a passion. And so things like Snapchat have really permitted us to not take ourselves too seriously. So there's like Snapchat, or I'm a really, really big believer in yoga and meditation in terms of keeping yourself focused and also keeping your thoughts outside of the box, right? Like having you expand past like whatever code you're working on. And so every month we do some kind of like yoga, or we even did a tasting meditation class where a woman came in and she like gave us chocolate, and we were supposed to meditate on the taste of the chocolate. And people may wonder, like, what does that have to do with building your dating app? That sounds like a waste of time. Mm-hmm. But in my point of view, like those kind of experiences really help you to think beyond what is, you know, just what the competitors are doing and let's replicate it. Instead, like, let's build our own features that are totally unique and no one's ever seen it before. And I think the way you can think about and build things that no one's ever done before is by doing things that are outside the box, you know, like having a chocolate tasting meditation class. So,
yeah, and that's really interesting. You know, they do kind of correlate playfulness with creativity and innovation. So keeping that playful environment is, you know, I think probably pretty suitable for a startup company.
Yeah. Some of my like best ideas came from a hike. You know, I was on a hike, you know, and it was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till I'm back in service, because I know I have an answer to this thing that we've been thinking about. So I think getting out of the office is really important.
Yeah, there's no question. You mentioned a hike, getting to be out in nature, getting some additional oxygen and while hiking is a real powerful thing.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, coming up with new ideas so you mentioned earlier, you talked about competition. There's obviously a lot of dating apps in the world. Do you have more what you'd view as direct competition with y'all, the way you're doing it?
So, you know, there's a lot of dating apps out there, right? But there's none that are using genetics. And so we're pretty on our own when it comes to that. But one thing that's pretty cool about dating apps, you don't have to cannibalize the market when you're a dating app. So the average dating app user is on 3 dating apps at any given time. And so what we need to do is just provide an additional option to singles using dating apps. Once we can get on their phones and then they see how much more efficient their dating life is by using our product over something else like that swiping, like Bumble or Tinder, they may be more encouraged to open our app more often than the other ones. But so we do have a lot of competitors, but at the same time, not genetic based. And usually people are using multiple. There's no Verizon contract, you know, on dating apps. People are on multiple at the same time.
Good, good. So you seem to have a pretty good handle on your competitive landscape. What's the go-to-market strategy? I think right now you're in Austin, Texas, right? So you can talk about how you're expanding and growing and how you plan to go beyond these markets.
Yeah, so what we did at first was we built an MVP and we launched it in Houston on March 1st of this year, so 2018. And the reason we kept it to Houston was because it was kind of like a Petri dish pilot experiment. So what we wanted to figure out was, what about the app did people love? What did they hate? What was confusing? What did we totally miss the mark on? And we launched and we cold called, we emailed, we texted everybody all the time. Like, what do you think? What do you think? What was your experience with the box that came in the mail? What was your experience with downloading it? What was your experience with matching with people? Like the whole thing. And we collected all this data and we were able to say like, wow, okay, people love this. They hate this. We love this part. They just don't understand what we're talking about. We need to fix that messaging. And we just totally took all that data, rearranged it. And we built what we're calling the MGP, which is the minimal good product. And so we just launched that last weekend. And so people can download Faramore nationwide now. So we've opened up the geo filter so anyone in the nation can download it. And we are spending more marketing dollars here in Austin, and we are actually on the ground here. That's why thank you so much for letting me tune in remotely. We're on the ground here in Austin doing a street team guerrilla marketing, handing out swag and t-shirts and getting people to download it. We're doing events every night. And so it's just an order to get some more brand equity here in an additional city.
Wow. So that's quite a strategy. And one of my favorite things about talking with you on this business podcast, you bring a lot, you have a very science approach to business. We've heard it a couple of times, whether it's Petri dish or a few other things, but MVP is an Eric Ries concept, or I mean, maybe it existed before him. He's got a whole book on it. Yeah. Sounds like you're familiar with that, but then you moved into the minimal good product. You mentioned, things that the consumers didn't like, things that you like. Can you just share a few things that we might find interesting about what you had to change in the app after that for MVP?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give you a few examples. One example is something that we just totally made a mistake on, and we totally messed up as people who've never built a dating app before. When people would sign up, we actually had the gender default as male. And so when you're signing up for a dating app, you have to say, I am a man or woman seeking a man and or woman, right? And when we built it, we had default man, I'm a man, and people weren't deselecting it. And so for the first month of our app, like, people were like, does my DNA say that I'm gay or straight or whatever? And I was like, no, like, it was just a mistake. Oh my God. Like, that was one of those amateur mistakes that we were like, and you know, we talk to UX UI designers now, and they're like, why would you ever make a default? And we're like, we don't know why we never do it again. We promise. So that's like an example of how we just missed the mark. We messed up, never thought about it. And it made a huge problem that we had to fix immediately. And then another data point is people, when we said, you know, what is your favorite thing about Faramore? They said, it's the compatibility score. That's the only reason I use your app. I want to know what my compatibility score is. So we said, give the people what they want, give them more. And so now, not only do you have a compatibility score, but if you click on it, when you match with someone, you actually get a full blown match report. So it breaks down all the genes and shows you how compatible you are in each gene that we're looking at. We also break down your social alignment score. So based on 6 different categories of interest, ranging from like hobbies, food, drinks, or whatever, where do you line up and what do you not have in common? And so people are really excited about that.
So your compatibility score, is that between you and the person you're matching with?
Yeah.
Or is that in, okay.
Yeah. So every day at Pi time, 3:14 p.m.,
Three 3.14159265358979. Don't make me keep going.
That's as far as I can go, though.
You're all dorks.
Yeah. So at 3 okay, at time every day, 3:14 p.m., people get 3 new profiles, and so they're curated based on your compatibility, and you can, you know, click their picture, you can look through their picture, you can look through their bio, but then there's also that match report. If you like them and then they like your profile, then you'll be matched and a chat, you know, box will open up so you can chat with that person. We do have a premium membership. So if you pay $5 a month, you can actually get 5 profiles a day instead of 3. Yeah.
So when was it that did you just like wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to start a DNA based dating app?
So, like I said, I had the idea back in college, but the reason I started it 9 years later, or 8 years, I guess, in December 2016, quite honestly, was because of the presidential election. So the presidential election happened, it went down November 2016, and I cried for about a week. And then I decided, like, okay, I need to be a woman who shares my opinion with more people than just my Facebook. So how do I get to be a woman who's in power? How do I get to be a woman who's invited to podiums to give my opinion? And I'm specifically motivated by empowering women and girls. And so, So I was like, well, I have this crazy idea for a genetic-based dating app. Let's try it. And so I found, literally 3 weeks after election, I founded Faramore. And like the rest is history.
Women, it sounds like Women Who Mean Business. Congratulations, by the way. Brittany was just named to by the HBJ, Women Who Mean Business here in Houston. So that's terrific.
Yeah, thank you.
One of the that brings up an interesting thought. One of the criticisms to a lot of dating apps is that they're not safe for women, or that they give an advantage to the male. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think if Tinder provided us with anything that's female empowering, it's that you can't message someone unless you both match. And so we definitely took on that feature. So you both have to like each other in order to get a message. There's lots of dating apps out there that you can just message whoever you want. And women are just flooded with 500 messages a day. Mm. And so we definitely have that. And as of right now, I'm not entirely sure how to combat all sexism or misogyny on a dating app. But I feel like we try to provide a space that is more about authentic connection than just about looks and instant gratification. So you get 3 profiles a day, right? You don't have 100 people to look through because we're more than just a card, right? We're a human. When you see in the Discover screen, the 3 profiles, the pictures are actually blurred and all you see is the compatibility score, and you have to click on it in order to even see their picture. Whereas other dating apps, a lot of people don't even go to see the bio. They're judging people based on their best Snapchat filter, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I really tried to just vision Faramore as like, what are the biggest issues today and how can we combat them in terms of using data? And so we're trying to put data in the forefront and then pictures in the back.
That's a good strategy. I dig it.
Yeah.
So what about, and hopefully it's not too early, I can't imagine it is. What about success stories? You guys found love? Is there a Faramore wedding yet? The first one?
Oh my gosh. You know, people ask that all the time and I'm like, we launched on March 1st. My users aren't that desperate. But yeah. We do have a few couples that disabled their accounts, and they said the reason was because they met someone on Faramore. As of today, we have about like 650 matches. So 650 times, you know, 2 people liked each other and then they started conversing. And so that to us is success. So many dating apps consider success as just a match on the app. The rest of it is fate and people having some game. And so we can't, we can only help people so far, but we do have things like dating coaches on the app where we actually can help you rewrite your bio and take better pictures. So we really are trying very hard to increase the success rate of our users, because that's the goal. Our goal is not to just have every single person in the world on our app. Our goal is to have typically, our customers are young working professionals who are seeking efficiency in dating. They're data-driven decision makers. They're usually highly educated. They usually have really good jobs. And they don't have time to go on all these bad first dates. And they're like, please use data to help me know who I'm going to have physical chemistry with based on pheromones and who I'm going to be socially aligned with based on our values and interests, so I don't have to waste my time on all these coffee dates with people I'm not compatible with whatsoever, because that's what Tinder and Bumble and I hate to be calling them out like that. They definitely serve a purpose, the other dating apps, but ours is really about increasing efficiency of dating.
So you're a little bit like the movie Hitch.
Yes. It's funny, in the States, people refer to that movie, but I've actually flown to Hong Kong to promote Faramore, and people in Asia are more thinking about, you know, it's like, they're like, this is like my grandmother. This like my grandmother is selecting someone for me. Like, she knows me better than I do, mm-hmm. and she's picking someone for me. And I'm like, well, yeah, kind of, that is kind of what we're doing.
Well, this is all pretty terrific, Brittany, and we're real supporters of what you're doing here and creating jobs in the city of Houston and beyond. So this is terrific, really is. And we're glad when somebody can take their passion for science and turn it into something meaningful. So quick, you know, 2 things we like to talk about as entrepreneurs. The first is thought leadership. Generally, that's books, but it can be movies or anything that you've used for fuel along the way to help you get here.
Yeah, the last 2 books that I've read that were just so influential to me were Power Up, How Women Can Win in the New Economy. It's written by a woman named Magdalena. So Magdalena is actually one of the co-founders of Salesforce. And so she's an immigrant from Turkey. And this book was just published maybe last year. It's called Power Up. And it was such a good book on being a really amazing, successful, powerful woman. And like, how do you go about doing that gracefully? You know, how do you balance like being seen as, you know, a monster of a woman because you're just so like demanding and in charge and powerful, but at the same time, like being powerful and in charge, and like, how do you balance that? And I mean, she even talked about like what to wear to work, which I was, those are questions I have. And a lot of these business books that I'm reading are written by men and they don't have a chapter on that, you know? And so I really appreciated that one. So it's by Magdalena, Power Up. And then the other book I just recently read that I really loved was called Disrupt You by Jay. I wrote his last name down. Jay Samet, Disrupt You. And it's all about changing the way that you think in order to figure out what the next big technology is going to be. Or like if you have, my favorite part of his book was he said, one of the most successful people in the world was the person who made covers for computers when they needed to still have like a plastic cover put over them. And he goes, that person didn't invent the computer, right? But they saw the computer being invented and sold and was like, I think that thing needs a cover. And he made a cover for it and like made a huge success for himself. So he's just talks about like, even if you're not going to build the next like iPhone or whatever, just look at what's current and say like, what can be added to this that would just really make it the next thing. And so Disrupt You, that was another really good book.
So Brittany, aside from your app, aside from Faramore, do you have any technology applications, softwares that you use regularly in your business that you would recommend?
Yeah. Y'all prepped me for this question and I was thinking like, oh, I can't say Faramore. Okay. one of the apps that I actually use a lot is called WAG, and it's so that my dogs can get walked. And like, honest to God, that app has permitted me to be a founder who works outrageous hours and still be a dog mom and feel like an okay dog mom. Because WAG not only is like providing employment and extra cash in someone's pocket, because who like, you know, I actually helped, like my budget was helped by dog sitting during my PhD. And so like, I see this as like, I'm just a cyclical thing, like, cool, like I have a salary now, like I can now hand it forward to whatever grad students walking dogs to make extra money. Moreover, my dogs are happier. And so it's actually a really, really basic app. Like if you ever downloaded WAG and use it, it's really, really basic, but you can actually track when your dogs are on the walk and when they go to the bathroom. I love it. I love it so much. I feel like I'm on the walk with them. And so maybe that's not a typical answer you get on your show, but I wanted to say WAG.
That's awesome.
It is. In fact, that's why I try to ask the question broadly, to where it just helps you as an entrepreneur. Because we get things like, you know, the grocery shopping apps, for example, Instacart. And you're right, it allows you to be more efficient. And my favorite part, and you hit it right on the head, is it creates jobs. There wasn't a job there before. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's so important. Well, that's great. Thank you for sharing the book recommendations, neither of which I've read. So I'll take a look, and those will be in the show links. So we'll share that. And then of course, WAG will also be in the show links and Faramore. So can you spend a little bit of time telling people how they find Faramore and how they find Brittany Beretta?
Sure. Yeah. So Faramore, it's in the App Store. You can download it. It's a free app. Download, make a profile. If you want to know your physical chemistry score with local singles, you can buy a genetic kit in the app. You can also follow Faramore on Facebook and Instagram to find out when we're doing events or new updates. I actually do Facebook and Instagram live every Friday, and I answer people's questions. So definitely like our social media pages. We also have a LinkedIn page for Faramore as well. And then as for me, you can find me on Facebook. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Brittany Beretta. I am pretty transparent on my Facebook page. I like to take people through the journey. I do a lot of Facebook Live myself on like where I am and what's happening. And it's definitely a journey. So please follow me too.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on, and we know your journey is just beginning. So, and especially thanks for bearing with us through some technical difficulty. Brittany was is actually our first remote guest, and so we had a little bit of challenges getting started, but you stuck
with
us.
No worries. You. A pilot experiment, right? Like, that's what I'm all about. You got to start.
You like experimenting. Yeah. We're testing out this hypothesis. We'll see. But honestly, this is quite a treat, Brittany, and we wish you all the best, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Brittany.
All right. Now, everybody listening, y'all go out and close some business. It's a big idea, small Bye. Business. Bye, guys.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas, Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.